History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Steve McKenna, the producer for History Makers, filling in for Matt Prater this week. And today we're having a chat with Mandy Warby. She looks after Israel Tours. She's got a heart for Israel as big as a lion. And we're going to have a chat with her, find out all about her story. Hey, Mandy, how are you doing?
I'm really well, Steve. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too shabby for an old fella. Hey, look, we're going to start. We're going to go back. Where were you born and raised?
Well, actually, I was born in England.
Yes.
And then my family immigrated to Australia 2 years later. Well, I had my second birthday just a couple of months after we arrived in Australia. So I was born in England but raised in Australia, and I'm Aussie through and through.
Whereabouts did you grow up in Australia?
Well, when we came to Australia, we were in New South Wales, and we lived on a hostel for a while because all immigrants, they all lived in a hostel, and you go through your, you know, all your vaccination, all your papers and all of that sort of stuff. Then initially we lived in Cabramatta, then we moved to Merrylands, and then we moved to Whalen, Mount Druitt, in the western suburbs of Sydney. And that's where I went, did my primary school years, really.
Oh, right. There we go. And did you have a Christian upbringing?
Well, you know, it's funny. When you say Christian upbringing, there's Christian and then there's, you know, well, what was your traditional family background?
Yeah.
So I would say we were like super, super, super secular Christians. We were really very, very friendly pagans, if I could put it that way. You know, we were pagans who believed that Jesus was the Son of God.
All right.
So that's what I mean.
So growing up, what did you do when you did eventually leave school, and what did you do for your first job?
Wow, my first job. It's funny because I'm a high school dropout, so I didn't even get to my year 10. I actually dropped out of school because I really didn't like it very much. But I was actually a really good student. I liked to learn. I was just not a very happy kid, if I'm really honest, you know.
Yeah.
Family break, you know, just the typical family breakdown, you know, divorced parents, moved around, pillar to post, you know, just the typical angry kid.
Yeah.
So anyway, I left school, and my first job, I actually worked as a dental nurse. I got a job to become a dental nurse. So I did that for a little while, and I found that I really did not enjoy looking into people's mouths. So I then actually left and just did retail work. I'm working at Suzanne's clothing boutique.
The clothing boutique, yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. Now, let's go back to when you first had an encounter with the Lord. When did you first come to Christ?
I was 13 years of age, actually, and again, like I say, moved from pillar to post. Well, after being in Mount Druitt, Whalen Mount Druitt, we moved to St. Mary's, and my sister and her brother-in-law, they decided they wanted to move up the coast. They said Port Macquarie, but it was actually halfway between Port Macquarie and Taree, out in the boondocks, Steve, out in the boondocks. Little tiny place called John's River. If you went past it on the motorway, you blink and it's gone. So I left all my friends and family, and I was about 13, and I was a first year of high school and only the first few months of high school. And we moved up. Again, I was just an angry kid, but there were some people who lived up the road from us on the riverbank, and my brother-in-law, who was a bit of a fisherman, he would go down and fish on the river, and that's how he got to know them. Right. And they were the most out-of-the-box Jesus freaks you'd ever imagine.
Right.
And so we got to know them, and it was actually through them that I came to faith in Jesus, and I was 13.
Right, and you noticed a big change in your life after that?
Massive. Absolutely massive. It was a pretty radical change for me, yeah. Yeah, I went from being a very angry kid to being a very grateful kid to know the Lord, yeah.
That's great. Now, we're going to go into how you became so passionate about Israel and the Jewish people.
My earliest memories go back to when I was between, say, 4 and 5. And like I said to you, my family were the loveliest Christian pagans you'd ever want to meet. And my sister, who is 5 years older than me, we had this old King James Bible, like teeny, teeny, tiny script, and the old Renaissance pictures that were scattered throughout this old King James Bible.
Yes.
Anyway, I'd sit at a little coffee table. I'd be four or five. And she would just tell me stories from the Bible. She wasn't reading them old King James style because she couldn't. She would just tell me the stories while holding this Bible. And I'd just draw pictures of them. And I can remember I'd go to bed at night and in my head I would think, oh, my goodness, the Jews, they must be the most perfect people on earth because God loves them so much. They're his chosen people. They must be perfect. And if God loves them, I love them. And I have had a love in my heart for the Jewish people since I was four or five. And it's been there simply because the simple narrative of the Bible says that God loves the Jewish people. Now, I know very well now they are not a perfect people by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, they're about as imperfect as Australians are, Steve.
Right.
They're as imperfect as the Brits, as the Americans, as the Finnish people, as the Italians and the Bahrainis. They're human beings, so they're not a perfect people. So I know that, but there was something inside of me that every time I would hear about the Jews or I'd read about Israel, I was like had a morbid fascination, I'd almost call it, with World War II because of the Holocaust. I could never understand this irrational hatred of this people. And so it wasn't until, I want to say, 20 years ago that I began to understand why the Jewish people are so important and significant. And that's because of the teaching of the late Dr. Chuck Missler. I learned so much about the Jews, their history, their calling, their future, Bible prophecy, and it suddenly went like, ding, now I understand why I love them so much and why they're so important. Not because they're perfect, not because they're better, but because they have a calling and a mandate from God.
You say that you'll come through, but it's been so long. It's like the desert sand. It goes on and on and on. But I believe there's something on the other side of all this waiting, where all of these tears will turn to celebrating. So no more holding back and no more hesitating, because I know you keep all your promises to me. Every word you speak in my heart is believing, standing in a future vision.
having a chat with Mandy Warby. So, Mandy, you ended up working with Christian media, Christian radio in particular, and quite in depth in Christian radio for many, many years, and you're still doing it now.
Yep.
How did you get involved in that?
My husband volunteered me without my knowledge or permission, actually. He was invited to go to a meeting with some guys at church, and they said, "Do you know anything about antennas?" And he said, "Well, yeah, what kind of antenna? Because there's antennas and then there's antennas and then there's antennas.
That's right.
What's the need? What is it about?" So he went along to this meeting, and it was about establishing community Christian radio in Port Macquarie.
Yeah.
And while there, because I was so passionate about Christian music, he volunteered me to be a part of the establishment of this Christian radio ministry as well. And I said, "Well, okay, thank you. That's very nice of you. I've got three little boys. What do you want me to do with them? Stick them in my pocket." But I got involved, fell in love with the ministry. What an incredible ministry to reach into people's homes and their lives, wherever they are, no matter what they're doing, in a very unobtrusive way, because they have the actual power to turn you on or off, which means we're there only by their permission to share the love of Christ, to share scriptures, to share Bible teaching and great music. So I fell in love with this ministry, and that was March of 1993.
Right.
So it's, what's that? It's coming up to 33 years.
It would be
next
getting there, yeah. So a little bit longer than I've been in Christian radio. I've been in Christian radio for 26 years now. So, time flies when you're having fun. Hey,
it really does. But I tell you something, Steve, if anybody had told me what we were going to have to go through to be a part of Christian radio, I would, you'd have seen elbows and heels from me, brother. I'd have just run for my life.
Yes. You've been involved in so many different aspects of Christian media, from hosting radio shows, which you still do now, and also a music director for a radio station for a while, choosing the music for the radio. And
Many years I did that. Your
passion for the Christian music. And also you're currently hosting two radio shows which are aired all over the place. In fact, I know they're aired overseas, Forerunners and Foundations.
Yeah, that's been pretty fun for me, because I have spent so much time learning about Israel. I've learned just how pivotal it is to understand the Jewish foundations of Christianity. Christianity is Jewish. I know a lot of Christians don't want to hear that, but Christianity is Jewish. Our Messiah is Jewish. Our scriptures are Jewish. Our apostles are Jewish. The first church, for at least the first decade, was all Jews. It's all built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets and the teachings and even the law. Paul's teaching in Romans, the law is perfect. Well, what law is he talking about? The law of the Lord that was given to the people back in the wilderness, you know? I mean, so everything about our faith, about Christianity, is Jewish. But anti-Semitism and replacement theology that crept into the church very, very early severed any Jewish connection and made it a Western religion. It's not a Western religion. It's an Eastern religion. It is a Jewish religion or faith. So learning about the Jewish foundations was revolutionary for me. And so I've turned it into a podcast, and Robbo and I host it. It's called, as you said, Foundations. And it really is just about explaining the Jewish foundations of Christianity and how understanding those foundations is revolutionary for understanding what Jesus was saying, understanding context, culture, setting, environment, because it's very easy to read our Bibles and try to interpret it through an Australian Western mindset 2025, when it was actually Jewish, ancient, and the culture and customs was completely different to what we have. So if you know what somebody said and what they meant when they said it back then, you'll understand the message they're trying to communicate.
And Mandy, the other show you're doing at the moment is Forerunners. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Forerunners is it's a smaller program. It's on average, it's about 3 minutes per episode.
Yeah.
And really, I focus on three things, and that is faithful heroes of the Christian faith, the persecuted church, and different events that literally changed the course of history that were part of the church. Okay, the most obvious one regarding church history is, say, the Reformation. All right. And then when it comes to the persecuted church, well, that's pretty obvious as well. I draw solely at the moment on the ministry of the Voice of the Martyrs. And then faithful heroes of the faith, like, you know, Charles Spurgeon, the late Dr. John MacArthur, or R.C. Sproul, or J.C. Ryle, and martyrs of the faith from early days. So I'll talk about those kind of people, because a lot of times Christians don't know much about our history, and there's great things in church history that we can be really solidly proud of.
Absolutely.
But there's also some pretty dodgy things that happen that we need to be aware of, because not everything was perfect and hunky-dory within Christendom, and we need to sort of learn from that, own it because it's part of our tribe, but understand that these things really happened.
Head down as I punch this clock. The hours roll, they never stop, and I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right, straight and narrow's getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand. And I'm wondering, yeah, I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Out here on this desert road, it's hot as fire, but I've grown cold. Circling like a plane that never lands. And even though the questions change, the answers always stay the same. Maybe someday I will understand. So I'm wondering, got me wondering, where's my promised land? I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Well, I've run this earth for many years. If there's one thing I know, there's nowhere on this side of heaven where streets are made of gold. I've long laid down my grand illusions, looking toward the day that I'll be home. I won't give up on this race. Broken, but I still have faith that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul. One day I'll stand before the throne with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these seasons, I'm still believing you're my promised land.
Chat with Mandy Warby. So Mandy, you do have a love for Israel and the Jewish people, and there's a lot of things happening in the Middle East and indeed Israel at the moment. I mean, they're under constant attack with missiles and more recently drone attacks. Talk into that, what's happening in the region at the moment.
Listen, this is so, I don't want to say controversial because it's not controversial. It's very cut and dry, but it's very polarizing, because if you happen to stand with Israel, you get a ton of hate mail that comes on you and threats and all the rest of it. Been there, done that. I get that. When I say I get that, I mean I personally get those things. But, you know, people forget very, very quickly. In fact, they forgot within a couple of days that Israel didn't start this war and this conflict, and she didn't want it.
That's
okay,
right.
This was started by Hamas on October 7, 2023. There are still 48 hostages that are in Gaza being held in terror tunnels as we speak. They're starving to death. They're being tortured. And every death, regardless of whether it is a Jewish death or whether it is a Gazan death, is the sole responsibility of Hamas. Now, everybody's saying, but Israel is going too far. Well, how far is too far when every few years Hamas starts another war, kidnaps more people, burns babies, rapes women, and tries to overthrow them? And their charter, which they released and established in 1988, says very, very clearly that they will not stop until Israel has been wiped out entirely, and that the only way to do that is through violent jihad, that negotiations and third parties will never be accepted. You can't make a compromise with that. And Israel, quite frankly, after October 7, has had enough. And this war could be over, as they said, right back on October 8. The war can be over if Hamas puts down their arms and gives back the hostages. They refuse. So the war continues. Israel continues to lead people, like the Gazan people, to safe areas. As much as the world says that's not happening, it is. Yeah. They're moving them to safe areas. They send millions of texts. They drop millions of flyers. They make automatic phone calls to everybody in Gaza to say, get to higher ground or get to a safe place. And that's what Israel does. I don't know of another army on earth that does that for their enemies. More than 2 million tons, just from Israel alone, of humanitarian aid has been sent from Israel into Gaza. Yeah. Most of it has been stolen by Hamas and kept for themselves and is sold at ridiculous prices to their own people, and they don't have the money. So it's not Israel's fault if there's starvation, and the starvation that they've been accused of is not happening. There is poverty, there is distress, there is suffering, and people do die. But the responsibility has to be laid at the feet of Hamas. Israel didn't start this war, but by golly, she's going to finish this war because she's not prepared to live next to a terrorist organization. Again, and don't forget, she hasn't just been attacked by Hamas in the south. They've been attacked by Hezbollah in the north. They were attacked by Iran. They were attacked with rockets and missiles from Syria, also from Iraq, also from Yemen. And also internally. So Israel is copping it on all sides. What she's supposed to do, and here's what makes me cranky. What many people around the world would do is actually lay down her arms and be wiped out. Now, that's the ultimate level of racism.
Yeah.
There are people around the world now marching in the streets saying that Israel is committing genocide against the Gazans, which is not true.
Yeah, that's right.
While calling for a genocide of the Jewish people. So it's okay for them to call for a genocide, but they're claiming Israel is doing the very thing. But I'll tell you something, the population in Gaza today is higher than it was on October 7. That's how high the birth rate is. And most of the deaths that have taken place over in Gaza have been Hamas combatants who wear civilian clothing. A report just come out to just prove that all these numbers of fatalities and all the terrible things that Israel's supposedly done, a new report's just been released to say none of that is true. It's a complete fabrication. But nobody wants to listen because this ancient hatred, this ancient racial, anti-Semitic, Jew-hating poison, it's been around for such a long time. When the world goes to custard, everybody wants to blame somebody, and the Jews are always the target. Somebody posted on my Facebook page, when all the Jews are dead, all the problems in the world will cease. Now, this is the mindset. We want to blame somebody for the ills of the world. Well, it's not the Jews who created all of the wars and all of that. It's just that they're very convenient when you don't want to be responsible for your own biases or your own contributions to the mess around us. You want to blame somebody else, and it's always been the Jews. But God has made promises, Steve. God's made promises to his people, and whether Christians or non-Christians like it or not, God has fulfilled his promises and he's never going to break them. Because if he can break them to the Jews, he can break them to us. And that's not the God that we serve.
It certainly is not. Well, Mandy, thank you so much for joining us today in History Makers. I think you're a history maker, and and thank you for your love of Israel and the Jewish people and all you do in Christian media.
Thanks, Steve.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. where you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.